Would you prefer to live in a tent or in a house? We will hopefully be having a slide appearing on the screen in just a moment as well. So, would you prefer to live in a tent or in a house? Not for a 2 week holiday, but forever. There is, of course, something temporary about a tent, and there is something more permanent about a house. How would you advise someone who was moving out of a tent and into a house? How would you advise a whole nation of people who, for 40 years, had been living in tents? And were now moving into houses that they were going to build for themselves. I mean, could the luxury of a house compared with a tent cause someone to forget God? Could the apparent permanence of a house be misleading? What did we read earlier together with Gabby in Deuteronomy chapter 8? We read the whole chapter earlier, and so let me just highlight a few verses now. Remember, the people of God were on the verge of entering the promised land, and all the insecurity and temporariness of desert wanderings was going to be replaced with a settled home of their own. What an occasion for celebration, but also what an occasion for reminding them of human nature, that when we get cozy and comfortable, we can so easily forget the God who has blessed us. And so in verse 11 of Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses is saying to the people, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast, the dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land, with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you so that in the end it might go well with you. Now, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me, but remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms His covenant which He swore to your ancestors as it is today. Think about those words with me, please. When you build fine houses and settle down, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of slavery. You may even be tempted to say, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. What a dangerous temptation to fall into. It is important to remember what God has done for us. It is important to remember what we were like before we met the Lord. And it is important to be mindful of how desperate we are whenever we try to live without the Lord. And maybe that is why when God settled the people in the land of Israel, maybe that's why God also, as a part of their education process, sent them on a 7-day camping trip each year. Do you know about their annual camping holiday? Did you know that's in the Bible? That when the people moved out of tents into permanent housing, they were also ordained to go camping for 7 days a year. It was called a festival. It was the Festival of Tabernacles, or otherwise called the Festival of Shelters, or the Festival of Booths, because the people stayed in temporary shelters that they put up for themselves for those 7 days. This story is so interesting, I think we really should read it. And it's in Leviticus chapter 23, and starting from verse 33. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, on the 15th day of the 7th month, the Lord's festival of tabernacles begins, and it lasts for 7 days. The first day is a sacred assembly. Do not do any of your ordinary work. For 7 days, present food offerings to the Lord, and on the 8th day, hold a sacred assembly and present a food offering to the Lord. It is the closing special assembly. Do not do any of your ordinary work." I'd like to now just jump forward to verse 39. So beginning with the 15th day of the 7th month, after you have gathered the crops of the land, celebrate the festival to the Lord for 7 days. The first day is a day of Sabbath rest, and the 8th day also is a day of Sabbath rest. On the first day, you are to take branches from luxuriant trees, from palms, willows, and other leafy trees, and rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. Celebrate this as a festival to the Lord for 7 days each year. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. Celebrate it in the 7th month. Live in temporary shelters for 7 days. All the native-born Israelites are to live in such shelters, so that your descendants will know that I made the Israelites live in temporary shelters when I brought them out of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. It is so important, my friends, to remember what God has done for us. It is important to remember what we were like before God intervened in our lives. It is so important to remember just how desperate we are if we try to live without Him. The Israelites had to remember that lesson back in the Old Testament days. And we need to remember it today. But what does all this have to do with whispers of eternity, I hear you ask? Well, I will tell you that in part two. So, what does living in tents have to do with eternity? And where do we find a whisper of eternity in all of this. Those of you who were with us last week, do you remember when we were in 2 Corinthians chapter 4? We talked about the gospel. We said that the gospel, the ministry of Jesus, the good news that we are saved by God's grace, the wonderful news that Jesus loves us, the light of Christ within our hearts. We said that all this, the gospel, this is treasure. But as the Apostle Paul said in our reading last week, yes, it's treasure, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Paul was saying last week, we have the gospel, the ministry of Jesus, the good news of salvation, the wonderful news of God's love, the light of Christ within our hearts. We have all of this, but we have it in jars of clay. What he was saying is that our frail bodies, our human bodies here on earth, are like jars of clay. Our frail situations here on earth are like jars of clay. Last week, the Apostle Paul likened our bodies to jars of clay, and now in the very next chapter, continuing his discussion, he likens our human bodies to a tent, to a temporary shelter. He likens our human situations here on earth to a tent. And what do tents remind us of? Tents compared to houses. Of course, tents are temporary structures, whilst houses are more permanent. We are reminded that our lives here on earth are a temporary arrangement. And sometimes when things are going really well and we're getting things according to our plans, we can so easily forget that our life here on earth is a temporary arrangement, whilst our eternal dwelling is a permanent building in heaven. So here, my friends, we have a whisper of eternity. Can we read together, please? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 10. And I'm pretty much going to let the passage speak for itself. For we know that if the earthly tent that we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, right here, right now, I'm sure this is your experience for some of you. Meanwhile, we groan. How many of you groan with your present body? We long to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan. How many of you groan in this present life? And we are burdened. How many of you feel burdens in this present life? Because of the physical limitations of your human body, or because of finances, or because of family issues. While we're in this tent, we groan and we are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now, the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. And therefore, we are always confident, and we know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. verse 7 continues and says, "For we live by faith and not by sight." My friends, we're living through some pretty difficult days at the moment. We're being reminded again, we've got to live by faith, not by sight. "We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord." So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due to us for the things done whilst in the body, whether good or bad." This earthly tent, this earthly human body is characterized by groaning. It is characterized by longing. We are in a state of nakedness, we are told. We all know the burdens of this life. And this existence is characterized by one word in the text, mortal. Mortal. And one day, all of that will be swallowed up by life. So, my friend, let's keep hold of this whisper of eternity. Let's live by faith, not by sight. Let's make it our goal to please our God. Amen.